You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
The JSE's closed its doors for another day, so it's time for the 5 o'clock shadow. And tonight, the 5 o'clock shadow is populated by Skunk Lowe, portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. Since we last spoke, Skunk, there's been all sorts of things going on. I mean, you could take today in isolation and say, what a lovely bounce back from the JSE. The JSE displaying bounce back ability. But you can't take this in isolation. You have to look back and see what has happened, because it's been brutal for you fund managers.
No, it's been a tough time. I mean, let's not beat around the bush. I mean, last night I tweeted about that. When you look at this environment, this is I would say the toughest environment for any portfolio manager to find themselves in, because there was only one place to go and hide, and that was really cash.
Yes.
Because we know what the markets. I'm not going to go and tell you what the market has done, because I think most listeners out there is they've got savvy, they're following the market, and they know what their shares, the Apples, the Microsoft, those tech companies locally. We know what the likes of the Anglo-Americans, Anheuser-Busch's, Richemont's. You can go down the list what those companies have done, but usually this is the time where you say, well, I want to go hide in some government bond. Now, largest government, best government bond, according to a lot of fund managers, would be the let's call it the US. The US rates, and most well known is most probably the 10-year yield on for the US. And then I said this morning, when we went into this year, beginning of January 2022, the yield was trading, up already at 1.5%. While it was trading around about the 1% levels earlier that year, it didn't take the market 4 months to push up from 1.5 to 2.5%, and it didn't take another 2 months to go to 3.5% yesterday already. So that's for the listeners out there that don't know and understand bonds. It's like inverse. It's like an inverse movement. It's like saying the rand went from 15 rand to 16 rand, and to think for yourself that actually is a weakening. Now, bonds work exactly the same. When the bond yield go from 1.5 to 3.5%, that's basically a 2% weakening. And you can always more or less work on anything between a 7, sometimes 10. Some bonds might be 10, but let's call it 7 to 8%. Capital depreciation in your investment for every 1% increase in the yield. So for anybody that went into this year and say, well, I think US 10-year yield is looking good at 1.5%, well, even they are currently looking at an investment that is down anything, let's call it between 14 and 16-17% down in dollar terms. So there was no hiding there. We all seen cryptocurrency. I mean, wow.
I was going to ask you about that. Because back in November, it was close to 70,000. And here we are in the middle of June, close to 20,000. And people say this is the world's new reserve currency. I cannot believe that people fell for this thing. I just can't believe it. It's a nice idea. It was hijacked. And now it's being lowjacked. Really. I don't want to laugh because I don't like people losing money.
This is horrible.
It's a really horrible thing. Do clients of yours phone you and say, should I get into crypto? Should I get into Bitcoin?
Yes, definitely. Lindsay, when anything goes up, and we can date that back to anything back, even the tulips in the 1600s. I mean, I can promise you, anything that goes up excessively, people invested it. I mean, we had the cryptocurrencies last year. We had, let's call it last year, we had the tech companies that was trading at these exuberant. Tesla, I mean, these companies were trading at exuberant multiples. And naturally, any client that phones in, but, why weren't I invested in, the likes of the Amazons, the Teslas, those type of companies. So that is usually the environment that you sit in when you deal with clients. And I mean, that's why we're here, is to educate the clients. And back to Bitcoin.
Yeah.
I mean, I follow Peter Schiff. I don't know if you follow him as well.
Yeah, I speak to him fairly regularly, although he's been quiet recently. I've reached out to him, as people say, a couple of times this week, and he's obviously so busy. Or he doesn't like me or something, because he hasn't come back to me. But I know Peter. I spent a day with him at his house in Connecticut, and he's a controversial fellow, but I really like him. Anyway, tell me about what he says.
That is an understatement. Now, I want to encourage everyone to you know, we've got that, you know, for free. Firstly, go in and look for some back interviews, you know, with Lindsay on Strictly Business, and yeah, go and give him a follow on Twitter, which I do. I actually like that. He's you know, at Peter Schiff, double F. But anyway, what I think was Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Sunday he came out. And he sort of looked at this and said, well, we will see a Bitcoin at $20,000 per Bitcoin, you know, this week. And yes, he was ripped. I mean, naturally, all these cryptomaniacs jumped on him and said, well, this is some of the recommendations you made, you know, in the past, you know, which given he's been verbally negative on you know, Bitcoin, and you know, he's been wrong at times, seriously wrong. But this time around, man, how right could he get him? And he was bang, yeah, perfectly, you know, on target. You know, currently trading at let's call it $21,300 per Bitcoin.
Yeah,
down another 6% today. Yeah, the week is not over yet. I think it's going to reach that $20,000.
I think it's going to go between 10 and 12,000. And I said that about 3 weeks ago with a technical analyst. I looked at the graph. It's going to between 10 and 12,000. And that the only reason it's going to stay there is because there's some sick punters that think, well, it's gone from 70 to 10. Therefore, it's probably going to bounce back. And they're probably quite right. But that's where it's going to me. And I've been very vocal in this regard. But anyway, let's not
talk. Why are you saying that, Lindsay? Because I think we lost people.
Because it's meaningless.
Say that, that's it. I think for the listeners out there and the cryptomaniacs, it's not Lindsay or Skulk or Peter Schiff being against Bitcoin.
No, of course not.
It's because, you know, we are saying that, you know, you need to value it, a certain investment or currency. You need to really value it. And for now, there's no real valuation behind Bitcoin. So buying your Bitcoin, saying, well, I'm going to be buying this serious dip, $20,000. And by all means, if you want to do that, make sure that we've always had a saying, you know, a six or a nix. Remember when we play cricket? You went and you needed a six or a nix. What that implies, you're going to open your shoulders. You're going to try and bang that ball as hard as you can and try and get it as far as it can. But you also know that by missing, you can lose everything. You can lose your whole wicket. You will pretty much lose everything. If you're of the opinion that you're happy to lose everything, yeah, then make sure that you will be happy to lose whatever you invest in Bitcoin. Because still to date, you know, this is not something that the reserve banks all over the world is using as a payment method. I know some African countries, you looked at that. There was a South American country that looked at using, you know, that bought some cryptocurrencies, but to date, you know, the major reserve banks in the world own zero, nothing, no.
And it's unregulated, Skulk.
That's it.
There's no regulations. It was hijacked by criminals, and okay, that's a gross generalization, but it was hijacked by criminals to a certain extent. And now people are, you know, certain platforms are obviously in huge trouble, and they're banning withdrawals, etc. And that's panicking people, and that's why it's doing it, and that's why it's going to 10 to 12,000. And did you see my tweet about the tulip mania in the 17th century in the Netherlands, where tulip bulbs became very, very fashionable? The Dutch were earning far too much money by being colonizers of far-flung lands, and they made so much money. Anyway, they had to spend their money on something, so it became very fashionable to buy tulip bulbs. And the tulip mania went up and up and up. In other words, the price of bulbs went up and up and up. They were changing hands for vast amounts of money, and then suddenly it collapsed. And so I put up a graph of the tulip mania, and I said some people are comparing the cryptocurrency collapse to the collapse of the tulip market in the 17th century in the Netherlands. And I said, that's absolute rubbish. Tulips have an intrinsic value. Whereas Bitcoin doesn't.
It goes zero. It can go to zero. If you look at, read Peter Schiff again, his words, you know, when people said, you know, literally, he's got no valuation in Bitcoin.
None whatsoever. No, he's right.
That's it. Bitcoin and zero. And like I said, the Tulip Bob still had a few cents, you know, a value.
They were worth something. And they're pretty as well. Whereas Bitcoin, no, I'm sorry.
Correct. Be careful.
I am being careful. I'm always careful, you know me. Let's have a look at a set of results that came out today. GrowthPoint came out with some numbers. The share price was initially down around about 2%, and I think it's closing probably 3.5% plus. GrowthPoint, you like the property companies? You're always talking about them?
Yeah, it's one I own. So let's start off with the disclaimers. I do own it in my capacity, personal capacity. Recently increased my holding in GrowthPoint, run about let's call it the 13 rand levels. I do like it. It's a environment. Now, firstly, you know, for all the listeners, it's now somebody going to attack me and say, "Well, Scott, what are you doing?" I mean, you know, property companies is typically a company that's going to be under pressure. Pressure when interest rates goes up, typically a cycle that we now currently find ourselves in. We also have seen that the company has been under huge pressure because of this whole, you know, work from home environment, renegotiation of specifically office. And I think we've got a lot of answers today. So why I bought into this company for now, it's trading at a wonderful, you know, dividend yield. So I'm feeling comfortable that I think the worst for growth is behind them. I do think that we will see a slight. You know, when I talk about the dividend yield, we're looking at, now after they started paying dividends again. It's a company that's trading over a 9% dividend yield, so it's attractive for me as an income earner, or let's call it somebody that wants to have some income out of investments. And I do think that when things stabilize, you know, this is a company that's besides the fact that they give you a wonderful exposure to Australian property. It's still, you know, when you look at V&A Waterfront, which I really regard very, very high, V&A Waterfront.
It's world class. It's a world class facility.
So let's look at the numbers quickly. I mean, I think that's we're going on. So firstly, let's start at the sweet and sour side. You know, the total vacancies is slightly up, you know, from March levels, you know, 10.9% versus the 10.5%. But still, when you look at it compared to a 1 year ago, the vacancies were still trading around about the 11.6. So clearly you can see that with this set of results, it's going to come out with June end. It seems like we're going to see a lower vacancy rate. They did mention that retail and industrial portfolios are looking better, which I'm quite positive on because we've just spoken about, you know, V&A Waterfront. So we'll touch on that now. But office space still remain under pressure. Understandable. Totally understandable. Why? Because a lot of these, you know, a lot of people that actually do, you know, office rentals, now as their leases come through for renegotiation, we had a similar scenario. We went to our landlord end of last year.
Yeah.
Our five-year lease came to an end. Naturally, we spoke to our landlord and said, well, you know what? The whole environment has changed. You know, rates has come down. And naturally, we need to renegotiate those contracts. And you usually renegotiate down, or in some instances, offices or companies are saying, well, I don't really need 500 square meters anymore. I only need about, let's call it 60% of that. I don't want that extra 200 square meters. I'm just going to have the 300 square meters. That's typically what companies are going through, and that's what you're seeing now in GrowthPoint's results as it goes through. But I'm looking forward. I'm looking, you know, 1-2 years ahead. I do think that this is looking really, really attractive, and I think that's what the market has told us in the latter part of today. I mean, market, yes, was strong. But, I mean, for GrowthPoint after this, let's call it trading update to be – to increase, you know, 3.5%. I think the market is telling us this is looking good. In general, let's just use the conclusions. Firstly, Retail industrial portfolios are showing signs of recovery. Office portfolios still need to show signs of stabilization. Here's the good sign. You know, V&A Waterfront. This is quite interesting, Lindsay, because remember, in this period, we had that UK bans. Remember, we had end of last year, we had the UK bans. Omicron came out, although we were the you know, one that actually shown the whole world this new variant. We got punished, and we're giving a UK ban over the December holiday. But good sign was things really in January started to pick up again. And the period between January and March actually shown already 70% of pre-COVID levels for V&A Waterfront. I've been there last weekend, and it does not feel like 70%. It feels more like 120% of pre-COVID. Yeah. People are really
thronging that place. Yeah, I know. It's not recession-proof, obviously, it's not. But I tell you what, if a vacancy comes up at the V&A, then it is filled quite quickly. Okay, any other companies that stood out since we've last spoken last Wednesday?
Well, I think a lot of companies really showed some recovery today. I think, you know, your resource companies were looking good. Just noted was futures closeout today. I think that's an important point to note, because I'm going to mention the value traded on the market. Massive $50 billion day, but
okay, we'll come to that right at the end.
But once every quarter, so that has shown the market, has shown some movement in the market, and as you mentioned, some movement in the earlier part of the day, and some movement in the latter part of the day after futures close out. I'm more interested in what happened with the share prices after futures close out, which were quite positive.
Okay.
Shares that stood out. I think it was just movers. Nothing. No real news.
Okay, well, let's just go to the spot prices then, Skulk, because I've got the dollar rand at 16.04, the British pound against the rand at 19.32, the euro rand at 16.67, the euro dollar just below 104, which was, the dollar was weaker this morning, but now it's turned around and it's 0.2% better. Don't forget, we're waiting for the Fed tonight to give its decision. Is it 50 basis points? Is it 75? I still think it's going to be 50 basis points personally, and then I think we'll get a relief rally, which is already occurring at the moment, but that's just me. British pound against the rand, the cable, 120.50. The gold price is down $7 an ounce to 18.21. The platinum price is down 6 to 9.27, and the palladium price is up $59 an ounce to 18.31. Wasn't that long ago, but it was maybe 10 days ago, it was up over 2,000. The crude oil prices. In America, the West Texas Intermediate is 118.24, down 0.6%. And Brent crude oil is $120.88 per barrel, which is down 0.25%. And natural gas, it's been falling quite sharply recently. It's 7.56 at the moment. US 10-year Treasury yield, which got close to 3.50 yesterday, is currently 3.41. The South African 10-year bond yield, which was close to 10.50 yesterday, is currently 10.26. And Bitcoin, the aforementioned Bitcoin... I don't know why I'm laughing, because it's not nice for people to lose money. 6.6% weaker, 21,229. It's had a torrid, torrid time. And S&P 500 futures, they're going to settle down for the next 2.5 hours until the US Fed decision, but nicely up 0.75%. Scott, give us a no. Let me give my movers, and you can come in with yours as well. Because I've got on the upside on the JSE today, what have we got here? I've got Anglo-American Platinum up nearly 9%, Thungela 6.8%. They've recently come out with a trading update. Impala Platinum up over 6%. Northam's up 6%. Sibanye Stillwater at 5.5%. So every single one of those leaders on my limited screen are diggers. On the downside, another digger, Alpha Min, it's a tin mine, down 4%. Coronation Managers down 1.4%, HCI down 1.4% as well. Karoo has fallen 1.1%, and Distill down 0.8%. Anything outside of those, Scout, that warrants attention?
Yeah, I think we can just give a mention to Naspers, as this it's also had a 4.2% day in the positive. Just to your point on the I think US rate decision or Fed hike decision.
Yes.
This a little bit later. I think it's going to be interesting. I spent some time in the car today.
Oh, yeah.
I spent some time in the car. I had a drive out to see some clients there in Hermanus, and I had some time to think about this and you know, what would I like to see and what do I think we're going to see? So your point to that you think we're going to see, you know, 0.5% hike is sort of, that is consensus. Mm-hmm. And I would say that's the easy route. I mean, we've seen JP Morgan came out yesterday stating that they now see a 75 basis points hike, and you know, they actually said that there's actually a risk of 100 basis points. Goldman Sachs, they also agreed.
Not going to happen.
They also said, let's see 75 basis. So why do I say let's bring it on? Let's just do this.
Get it out of the way. In other words,
that's it. I mean, I've always, I always ask the people, you know, our kids don't know that, and it was horrible that it happened. Made me a better man than I am today, but. You know, when we did wrong in school, we got a nice proper hiding. I got a bachelor. I mean, you usually had to go to the headmaster's master's office, and he'll take some cane, and he'll give you a proper hiding. That was not the problem. Usually the headmaster weren't available, and you had to go sit on these chairs in front of his door, you know, in front of his closed, you know, office door, and you'll sit there. And sometimes you need to sit there for only 2 minutes, and sometimes you sit there for a proper hour and a half. Now, that hour and a half was way worse than the three, you know, shots on the, with a cane. You know, it was way worse. It was just that wait, that, you know, what's going to happen now, and then eventually it's over. We are sitting in an environment that we know a few things. We know that. Inflation is not transitory now anymore. That's
out the window. So that's ancient history.
That's so lost. Mm. That's it. And most of the world started to raise their interest rate early. Now, when you look at a hiking interest rate cycle globally, usually it starts off with your emerging markets, and your developed countries is usually lost out of the block with pretty much the US and Eurozone would be dead last. But I think they waited too long. They know now they waited too long. And although the interest rate is a little bit better than the previous month, you know, 8.6% is just way, way too high. And they still know that the risk is on the upside. They also know that they can't just keep on giving, you know, 0.5% hikes every month. So let's just do 1% and stop it. Just do 1% and get it out of the way, and at least give some message, you know, tonight, and say that, well, maybe we're going to do a big one now. We're going to do 0.75. We're going to do, you know, I don't think they're going to do a 1%, but let's say they do a 0.75. But at least this, we now hope that this will be enough to not see us do another 0.5% next month or in 2 months.
I think they'll phase it in, Scott. They're not going to shock anybody because it's not in their nature to do so, even though they're way behind the curve, and they should have done it a lot earlier and phased it in a lot easier, and the market wouldn't be like it is today if they had actually behaved responsibly, which they didn't. Give us the closing JSE indices, if you would.
So JSE closed today at 67,502 points. That's up a whopping 2.77%. The resources, as you mentioned, were definitely the biggest benefactor of today's movement. 3.63% in the green. Wow, what a day. Industrials, with the help naturally of Naspers and Prosus, up 2.69%, and financials also doing pretty well, 2.3%. I'm going to mention the SA property, as Growth Point is still the largest component of that.
Surely good.
2.3% in the green as well. I know some people follow the JSE Top 40, 61,163 points. That is up 2.9%. And here's the good one. I mean,
value traded because its futures closed out, so don't get too excited. 50 billion plus, right?
Yep, that's it. Just over 50 billion, 50.1 billion traded. And, you know, last week, this time around, we sat there and I think it was 5 or 6 days in a row where we had a sub 20 billion day. So, I mean, this is now the sixth day in a row where we had, you know, more than 20 billion trade. I think the lowest was just 20. Oh, there was a 20, just over 20 billion day. But like I said, 6 days in a row of over 20 billion value traded. Today, 50.1 billion. So I think, well done for the JSE this past few days.
Very good. And a welcome relief after the few days of carnage of trading days that we've seen over the last 4-5 days. The S&P futures as we close, 37.66, up nearly 0.8%. But all of that will change at around about 8.15, 8.30 South African time. So watch out for the Fed this evening. Skalklo is a portfolio manager at PSG Wealth Old Oak Division in Cape Town. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow. Skalk will be back with me next Wednesday. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.